Today on Real Radio.
Can you imagine? Have you ever done a funeral for somebody who died and you don't know where they are with Jesus? They were notorious sinners. They mocked God. They died in a drunken brawl when somebody beat them to death. And I'm doing the funeral and there's no evidence whatsoever that they accepted Christ. What do you say at a funeral like that?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days are free. Praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're in a mini-series that examines the second half of chapter 16. For those who will listen, the Messiah sets the record straight on life's priorities, especially in how we view our Maker and the extension of His kingdom. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a mini-series called, What Does Your God Value?
And look at verse 20. It says that the beggar, Lazarus, full of sores, and he was laid. The word laid here in Greek is a sad word. It means that somebody came by every day by the rich man's house and dropped him off. The word means to drop off, to abandon, to leave for dead. Imagine that, church. This is a real deal. Somebody had custody of this man, brings him over by the rich man's house, dumps him down, abandons him, and leaves him for dead every day. Man, when is this guy going to die? So I don't have to keep lugging this stinky, sore, pus-dripping, stinky man. And he's laid at the gate of the rich man. Verse 21 says, desiring to be fed, the man's hungry. And all he wants is the crumbs that fall from the rich man's table. Church, you say, what does that mean? This is exactly what it means. Get it in your mind's eye. It's incredible. Rich people did not waste time with fabric in those days to wipe their hands. Guess what they did? They took bread from off the table when they were all done eating, and they took bread and they wiped their hands and got all the grease and all the juice and all what's left of the meal off their hands on that dough ball, that piece of bread, and they threw it to the dogs. And that poor man said, if I could just have that, I'd be fine. Jesus tells this story. The rich man is a picture of mankind deceived by riches, and this poor man is a picture of mankind ravaged by sin. By the way, listen, church, if you're not under the protection of Jesus Christ this morning, then you're in the current of being deceived by riches or you're being ravaged by sin. Did you know that? Christian, today, if you have Christ in your life, you're protected. But today, if you are in the current and you're pursuing riches, you're being deceived. The Bible says riches deceive us. It causes us to think funny. Riches cause us to think that we're better than other people. And then sin and its effect can ravage our lives and leave us broke and poor and devastated by making wrong decisions, self-decisions. Matthew 19:23 says, then Jesus said to his disciples, assuredly I say to you that it is harder. It's harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's not, listen, riches do not keep you out of heaven. You can be a rich man today and be well on your way to heaven because you're wealthy, but the Lord is your God. The dangerous thing, Jesus is saying, riches occupy the position of the heart and our affections and attention. And not everybody. Look at the statistics for the lotto. People who win the lottery. Look at the statistics. That's your homework. Go look at the statistics of lottery winners. And look, over 74% of them, after they've won millions, wind up having ruined, destroyed, drug addict, messed up lives. Some of them even arrested. People can't handle money because it becomes a god to them. Jesus said, it's easier for the camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man. That is implying that he loves his riches. Is the reality of eternity, eternity in light of who or what I am? Verse 22 goes on, and so it was that the beggar died and was carried. Circle the word carried. The word means with great tenderness, with great care, with great, great sweetness. This poor beggar man left for dead at the rich man's door finally died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Wow. Dr. H.A. Ironside says, thanks be to God, at last the poor beggar died. I don't know what you think about that. Thanks be to God, at last the poor beggar died. There'll come a day, no matter where you are, no matter where I'm at in this status of life, we will die, we will take nothing with us, and you will either be carried by angels into the presence of the Lord, or you will be buried, your body in the ground, and carted off to hell. Did you know that Jesus spoke about hell more than any other person in the Bible? Did you learn that in Sunday school? Who spoke more about hell than any other person of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation? The answer is, Bible trivia question, Jesus. Why? He was the one that was going to pay the price so you and I wouldn't go there. He's the one that would announce, you don't have to go there. Jesus, I believe, is digging into their memories about two men who they all knew. And when he announced that this poor man was taken to Abraham's bosom, very quickly, we don't have much time to speak about it. What in the world is Abraham's bosom? It was referred to by the Old Testament saints and the saints of the first century regarding the dwelling place of those who died believing in the Lord. It's where, when Noah died, it's where Noah went. When Adam died, it's where Adam went. When Rahab died, it's where Rahab went. The only transition that ever took place was found in Luke 23:43, when Jesus said to the thief on the cross, assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Paradise was Abraham's bosom. It was a place that the dead went to, fully awake, by the way. Make no mistake about it. They're totally alert. It wasn't heaven where God's dwelling place was. It was first this place called paradise. And Jesus said to the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise. Why? Because Jesus went there first before he took them all to the presence of God in heaven, says the Bible. It was not a place of sleep. It's not a place of annihilation. It's a real place, both heaven and hell. In Psalm 116:15 says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. I just learned something this last week on vacation. Did you know the founding fathers in the Puritan era and the colonial era? Did you know that they, when someone was near to death, they would call for the clergy, they would call for the family? Get a load of this. And they would listen. They would listen as the man was there either dying or slipping into unconsciousness or whatever the case might be. They would listen for his last and final words. It was a big deal to write down their last words. We don't do that much anymore because what happens in our culture is that we drug people up so severely that there are no longer any last words recorded. But my goodness, you should hear and read some of the last words of our colonial founding fathers before they slipped into the arms of Jesus. John Adams' daughter said, by the way, he died on the 4th of July. By the way, he died on the 4th of July on the same day and on the same, within 4 hours apart of Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson would not celebrate his own birthday. He would only celebrate the birthday of America on the 4th of July. And their last recorded words, and one of his daughters, Adam's daughters, said, oh, I pray the Lord will heal you, that you would live a longer life. And Adam said, I hope not. John Adams wanted to see Jesus. Amazing. Their last words, eternity. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. God will be there. Have you ever thought you're dying? Have you ever come, anybody ever thought you're dying or come close to dying? You ever been in that? Even if you're not even close, you thought you were. All you have to do is think you were. About a year ago, I thought I was dying, almost died in this pulpit. And then I thought, okay, well, after they got me out of here, I'm going to die on the driveway of the firehouse right over here when they were working on me. And I thought, that's it. Sweet Jesus, I'm coming home. I got to tell you, it's an amazing moment. Even though I was not dying, I thought I was dying. And I was laying there, and I was passing out. I was going out, and they got the wires on me, and everything's going on. And then one paramedic turns to my wife. By the way, it's great to have paramedics who attend this church. Let me tell you right now. And one of them turns and says, this does not look good. I remember hearing that. And here's the awesome thing. God's my judge. He's my witness. I didn't care. I cared about the welfare of my family, but I had no, how do they say it in Jamaica? No worries, man. No worries. I knew I was going home to Jesus. If that was my moment, there's a great peace that comes. The reality of it all. And by the way, in that moment, it's too late to find out if you've got it. You need to have it. The Bible announces that you can have it. There's the greatest separation that takes place for each and every one of us at that moment of death. And Jesus is speaking about it to these here. You'll either be lost in eternity forever, or you'll be found in eternity forever. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27 and 28, for is it appointed unto every man once to die, and after that comes the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. And to those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. Did you hear that? You guys, did you hear that? Apart from sin. Jesus is not coming back to pick up the beggar or the believer and say, now we need to deal with a few things before we take you up now. Oh, no. He comes back apart from sin. Does anybody know why it says that in Hebrews 9:28? He's coming back to pick those up who, apart from sin, receives them for salvation. The answer is 2,000 years ago on the cross, he took away our sins. The rich man had everything possible on this earth, but failed to invest in faith, which would have gotten him into eternity. The poor man, on the other hand, had nothing in this life, but did invest in faith for eternity. And who in the end, my friend, was richer? The poor man was richer. He inherited heaven. The Bible says, listen, 86% of Americans say that there's a hell. Did you know that? Only 2% believe they're going there. Apparently, there's a lot more believers in America than I had thought. You say, listen, I don't believe in hell. Well, the Bible says hell's a reality. Well, I don't believe in the Bible. The prophets of the Old Testament says that there's a hell. Well, I don't believe in those guys either. Jesus Christ, who, remember, came back from the dead and announced there's a hell, taught there was a hell, Jesus himself said there's a hell. He said, I don't believe in hell. Listen, don't worry then. You don't have to worry. You're okay. You want to know why? Because Newsweek magazine says, hell is too trite of a subject for serious thinkers. Oh, thank you, Newsweek. Oh, man, that makes me feel better. Let's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Who cares? There's no hell. Oh, you don't have to worry about what Jesus and the prophets have announced. You don't have to read these letters written in red, because Dr. Gordon Kaufman of Harvard School of Divinity said, quote, American thinking has gone through a great transformation. We can no longer take seriously the topics of heaven and hell. Close quote. Ah, whoo! Boy, for a moment there, I was getting worried because Jesus said there was a hell. But Harvard Divinity School says there's not. Okay, then. If you think I'm making fun of you, I'm trying the best I can to lay it on pretty heavy. You're going to side with some nincompoop's idea or Newsweek magazine versus the very Word of God. My friend, every one of you listening right now have the opportunity to go to heaven. What will you do with that? Apparently, to reject Christ's sacrifice, that is his death, the death of God upon the cross for our sins, is such a great rejection that it warrants and justifies hell. You say, I can't fathom that. Of course you cannot fathom that. I cannot either. But the Bible says if we reject Christ, we inherit hell. You say, I don't think that's fair. It's not for us to decide. But clearly, whatever Jesus did at the cross, are you listening? Whatever Jesus did at the cross is so awesome, is so powerful, it is so precious, it is so pure, it is so holy, that for any person to reject what he has done warrants the sufferings of hell. It's not a popular thing to hear. Verse 24 says, then he, that's the formerly rich man, cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Now, why is this taking place? This is weird. Look at verse 23. The rich man, now Lazarus is in, he's in comfort. Look at verse 23. The rich man being in torments, plural, in hell, lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, that is being comforted. Then, look at verse 24, the formerly rich man cried out. Listen, he cries out from hell. This is wild. Father Abraham. Interesting. Thousands of years had been removed, but this guy knew who Abraham was. Have mercy on me. Send Lazarus. Interesting. This guy knew the name of the poor man that was dropped at his door every day, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Interesting. This man is very alert. Oh, it's metaphorical. Yeah, don't you wish? Satan would love to have you think it's metaphorical. Verse 25, but Abraham said, son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things. That's not a sin. And likewise, Lazarus, evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. That's not the reason why the man's in hell. And besides all this, because between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. Boy, what a great title for a book, huh? A great gulf fixed. There is a spiritual divide that is so great, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Notice how alert and attentive to detail this man in hell is. Jack, I don't like this message. Listen, I don't like it either. But my boss wrote the book, and I got to go verse by verse through the book. But listen, if this message causes one person today to say, you know what, I don't think I want to go to hell, then hallelujah, praise the Lord. You say, well, you know, you should preach a real nice message and real fluffy message, and I understand that. And we do that sometimes, but the Bible also announces, I mean, don't we do that sometimes? Maybe, no. Some of you are laughing at me like we never do that. Listen, the Bible tells us in 1 John that some preach the gospel out of love and come to Christ, and others snatching them, as it were, from the fire. That's how I was, by the way. That's how I came to Christ. I heard about fire on that night, and I realized that's exactly where I'm going, and I don't want to go. Now, you can accept Christ today because you don't want to go to hell. That's a very good reason to accept Christ today. Jesus said in Matthew 23:37, how often I wanted to gather you together like a chicken gathers her chicks under her wings, and here it is, but you are not willing. That's how somebody inherits hell. Eternity in light of reality is, it's the answer to what you want. Jesus said, I want you, but you're not willing. Dwight L. Moody, the greatest American evangelist a century ago, stated, listen, I quote, hell is not a place for the sick to recover. It's a place where the condemned suffer. It's that place for those who would not. Dwight L. Moody. As Christians, listen, it's important that we're not jihadists. We won't kill you for rejecting Jesus. We're going to love you just the same. We're not going to curse you. We're not going to mock you. We're not going to draw cartoons about you. And so we end with this final consideration. Verses 27 to 31. Then he said, I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. Send Lazarus, Abraham, let the man go. Let him get out of the place of pleasure where he's at. Send him back home to the world where I've come from. For I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. You know what's ironic about this? Eternity in light of what you know? Isn't it bizarre that this man now is all committed to Christian evangelism? Look at this guy's in hell. Oh, if people could go back and warn my brothers not to come here. Can you imagine, church? Are you with me still? We're almost done. I know we've gone a little bit over. Listen, can you imagine? Have you ever done a funeral for somebody who died and you don't know where they are with Jesus? They were notorious sinners. They mocked God. They died in a drunken brawl when somebody beat them to death. And I'm doing the funeral and there's no evidence whatsoever that they accepted Christ. What do you say at a funeral like that? Believe it or not, the funeral's going to be done with or without me. I'd rather do it personally. Why? Because this I know. Are you listening, everyone? Almost. This I know. If I say, you know, Bob lies here, at least his body dead, but if Bob could speak beyond the grave. Is this not true, church? If Bob could speak from beyond the grave, Bob would say right now to every one of you right here, love Jesus with all of your heart. Think about it. Adolf Hitler would announce this morning, love Jesus with all your heart. Mussolini. Imagine if Saddam Hussein could speak to us right now from beyond the grave. There would be no arrogance with him. There would be no Islamic self-righteousness. He would say, Jesus died for my sins and I missed him. Love Jesus with all your heart. Think about it. Eternity in light of what you know. And so, the statement is made. Verse 28, I have five brothers, that they may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. And Abraham said, listen, everyone. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one, listen, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But Abraham said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, listen, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. But he said to Abraham, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded the one rise from the dead. Is not Jesus in this announcement declaring, read your Bible. Read your Bible and make a decision. And even if one were to be risen from the dead, it still wouldn't make people believe. You can choose today, completely free. Because he did it all. It's not cheap. It's free, but it's not cheap. This is serious and awesome. It's terrifying and glorious.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called What Does Your God Value? This is actually a mini-series taken from the second half of Luke chapter 16, part of our verse-by-verse through the Gospel of Luke, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Listen, if you haven't logged on to realradioactive.org lately, pay us a visit. You'll find our newly formatted website easy to navigate. Just point and click for podcasts, MP3s, recent broadcasts of Real Radio, special offers, resources, even current events in our nation and beyond that affect us as believers. The new realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our toll-free telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can easily be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word.
Inside, You shine amidst this broken daylight.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.